Okay, today's daf is Yud Zayin. We left you off mid-story. Okay, let's just go back a little bit to the beginning of the story. We started the story about Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, who gets captured. The Romans claim that he's a Christian, or said Christian something. We don't know exactly. And he gets saved because of this. He uses this phrase, Ne'aman alai hadayan, and he really meant HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my true judge, but the Hegmon thought that he was talking about him, and he lets him go free. And then his students come to make him feel better, but he's very much bothered because he feels that God must have punished him for some reason. He must have done something wrong. Okay, it's unclear whether, you know, the assumption of the Mefarshim is that it was that his concern is that God must have punished him, and that's why he went through this whole process. It could be that maybe he's also concerned with what exactly did they catch me for? What did I do, right? In other words, why did they think that I did it? But probably he's more concerned klapei God, especially Ne'aman alei Dayan. That's really who he's worried about. So Rabbi Akiva says, maybe there was some, that's where we ended yesterday, the last four words. Amarlo, Rabbi, Shema minut bali adcha v'hana'acha v'alav nitpasta. Maybe you heard some minut, somebody say something, and you benefited from it. Okay, what does that mean? So Rashi says, Yashar debar be'inecha. You identified with it. You thought, oh, this sounds like a good interpretation. Maybe that was it, and maybe because of that, number one, God was angry with you. Maybe number two, the Romans saw you agreeing with this, and maybe that's what they caught you for. Amarlo. So now Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, his kartani, you reminded me of a story, and I bet you're right, that this is what I got in trouble for. In other words, this is why God is punishing me, or maybe the Romans. Pamachat hayiti ma'alech b'shuk ha'elyon shel tzipori. Okay, one day I was in the shuk, the upper shuk of Tzipori. Umatzati echad, okay, now again, our nosach says, v'yakov ish kfar sachni ashmo. But the uncensored version says, and he was a student of Yeshu HaNotzri. Okay?
It's a big difference.
Right, it's a very big difference. And then it says, Yaakov ish sachnei ashmo. The Koran had a note about it saying that there were three disciples of Jesus whose names were Yaakov. So we don't know them. We know them by their father's names and not by where they lived. So we don't really know which Yaakov this is. But he's mentioned other times in Shas. You can even see the Tosfot says, Tzarich lomar de'enze Yaakov mina'a de'perek ema amidin. It must not be the same guy because he was lohari. Okay, the Tosfot also is trying to figure out exactly who this person was. Anyway, the obvious point is he must have been one of these early Christians, a disciple of Jesus. Amarli, he said to me, the mean, katub b'toratchem lo tavi et nan zona. Right, you can't bring a gift that was brought to a prostitute to the Beit HaMikdash, right? You're not allowed to bring it and buy korbanot with it, right? Anything like that, because it's a despicable item. But he questions, Mahu lasot hemenu beit hakiseh lekohen gadol. If you recall, Masechet Yoma, a long time ago, but maybe another sending away from Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippurim, what would the Kohen Gadol do? They would separate him 7 days before he would leave his house, and he would go and live in the Lishkat Parhedrin of the Sanhedrin, and there of the Beit HaMikdash. And there he would live for 7 days, so obviously he needed a bathroom. So they say, well, maybe you can use a gift given to a prostitute to create a bathroom for the Kohen Gadol, because it's a bathroom, and a bathroom is also a despicable place. So,
if necessary.
What do you mean?
Although
if necessary?
Necessary,
right? Yes, it is necessary, and right, exactly. In other words, their claim. I'm not necessarily assuming a bathroom is a despicable place, but their claim is right. We can equate a bathroom with a Beit Zona, even though one could claim definitely not. Anyway, he suggests maybe we could use it for the Beit HaKiseh of the Kohen Gadol. V'lo amarti lo klum, and I didn't respond to him. Amar li, so he says to me, kach limdani. This is what we learned. Ki me'etnan zona. Okay, now he quotes a different pasuk. Okay, that was a pasuk from the Torah about lo tavi etnan zona. It's umachir kelev beit Hashem lokecha. Okay, l'chol neder ki tovat Hashem lokecha gam shnehem. Okay, they're both Torah. Now there's a pasuk in Micha he's going to quote, which reads like this. Okay, Micha perak aleph pasuk zayin. V'chol psileha yukatu. If you remember Micha, he's comparing, right, the etnon zona, right? So he says, v'chol psila yukatu, v'chol etnaneha yisrafu ba'esh, okay, all the psilim and all the gifts that were given will be burned, וכל עצביה עשים שממה, right? These are all the פסלים, כי מאתנן זונה קיבצה, ועד אתנן זונה ישובו. Okay, what does this phrase mean? It came from the Etnon Zona, and it will return to the Etnon Zona. So what does he say? Here's his translation, the mean. Yashuvu mimakom atinofet, Etnon Zona yashuvu, mimakom atinofet bau, limakom atinofet yelechu. They started in a despicable place, this Etnon Zona, and they will end in a despicable place, which is the bathroom. So in other words, there shouldn't be a problem. Vehina'ani hadavar. Okay, and he said, and I actually thought that there was logic to what he was saying. Right? He had a good argument. Al yedei zeh nitpasti leminut. And this must be why I was captured. Va'avarti al mashe katuv b'Torah. Now you say, I see your face, so what? But he says here, what I did was I transgressed what it says in the Torah. Harchek me'aleha darkecha. Okay, you should distance yourself. This is in Mishlei, not exactly in the Torah. But in Mishlei it says, Harchet me'aleha darkecha va'al tikrava petach beita. Okay, so what does it say? The context is, I think, if I remember correctly, the context there is prostitution. But he says, Harchet me'aleha darkecha zominut. This is the Christianity. Keep far away from it. In other words, what was the problem? He entered into Masah Matam with this mean and heard his argument. He said, you're really supposed to distance yourself from all this. Okay, keep far away from it. It was considered one of these dangerous things that could sway you. Wait 1 minute, hold off. Va'al tikrav al petach beita, and don't go to the opening of her house. What is this a reference to? Zoharishut. This is the authorities. In other words, stay far away from them too, because you can only get into trouble by being near them. V'ika da'amrei, some people darshan this pasuk differently. Harchet me'aleha darkecha zo minut v'harishut. They connect minut and the rishut is one. V'al tikrav al petach beita zo zona. Okay, don't go near her house. That's obviously referring to a prostitute. V'kama, how far are you supposed to keep away from them? Okay, now we got to get into typical halachic argument of what's the shear of distance. So, classic shear, arma rav chista, arba amot. Okay, so now, as Ruth says, well, was the mean right? In other words, how do we darshan this pasuk otherwise? So clearly, we don't take the mean's interpretation. We happen to think maybe there was some logic to it, but now the Gemara is going to say, V'rabanan ha'ime etnon zona mai darshebe. What are they darshan? Kidu Rav Chista, like Rav Chista says, Da'am Rav Chista, kol zona sheniskeret, levasof hi socheret. Shene'amar, ubititcha etnan, ve'nan lo nitan la, batihi lehefech. Okay, this is a pasuk from Yechezkel. Actually starts off, vayihi bach hefech min hanashim betaznutayich. It's going to be the opposite of women when you become a zona. Vacharayach lo zona, ubititech etnan, ve'edan lo nitan lach, batihi lehefech. Everything's going to be flipped. What does it mean, flipped? It means that the zona first becomes a zona and makes money off of it, but eventually, when nobody wants to hire her anymore, she's going to be so addicted to this newt that she's going to end up having to hire her own prostitutes to sleep with. Okay, in other words, it's stay far away from this because you're going to get sucked in, agide kaf, that you're going to end up having to hire people for your own sake. So that's how he understands. Now let's go back to our original pasuk that they darshin ki me'etnon zona kibatza vad etnon zona yashuvu. In other words, first you're going to start as a zona, then you're going to return to this nuke from the other direction. Okay, and he proves it with this pasuk in Yechezkel. So let's just establish what we have. We have the story of Elizabeth Horkinos, who claimed that because of this interaction he had with the mean, that must be what either God punished him for or the Romans punished him for, or maybe a combination of both. And the real sin was not distancing himself from the minim, which we darshaned out from Sukkim, you have to distance yourself from the minim. And we also saw a drasha that said not only the minim, right? All the drashot said also the reshut, the authorities, which I imagine there was a debate about because there were some rabbis that were very in touch with the authorities, and there were others who said keep away, they're just bad. It also could be a difference of timing about which authorities we're referring to. And then another drasha that said, keep your distance from zonot, which we're going to relate to soon. Okay, now we're going to see that this approach of distancing yourself, upliga de Rabbi Pedat. Okay, this goes against Rabbi Pedat. Da'amar Rabbi Pedat, לא אסרה תורה אלא קריבה של גילוי עריות בלבד, שנאמר איש איש על כל שער בשרו לא תקרבו לגלות ערווה. Okay, what does he say? The only Isra Midoraita of Kreva is Kreva of Gilor Arayot, okay, meaning to your relatives, to anyone who's one of your Arayot, you have to keep your distance from, but it doesn't necessarily mean Znud or things like that. Now, everybody jumps on him and says, what do you mean? It's not Usher to, you can go close to Zonot and things like that. So some people modify his, neutralize his statement a little bit or minimize it and say, well, he only meant Midoraita, but Midorabanan, obviously, you have to keep away from all these things. His statement's a little problematic to everyone who came after said, what are you talking about? Okay, what he says is this Arba Amot, Rashi says, Upliga de Rabbi Padat is these four Amot of Rav Chisda. Because he says it's not that you have to distance yourself in terms of space between you, it's that you just can't touch people, right? That's the issue. But not that you have to keep a certain space distance. But again, like I said, they sort of, say, it can't possibly be that's what he meant. He might have just meant, when he says it, lo ascha Torah ela kreva shel gilor ha'ayot. Although the Gemara, the Lashon Pliga de Rabbi Padat does sound like he disagrees and not that he really agrees. Okay. In the context of Ish ish al kol sheir b'saro lo tikruvu l'galot erva, we have a story about Ula, strange line about him. Ula ki hava ata mibei Rav, when he would come home from the house of Rav, I guess from studying, hava menashek luhu la'achte abe yadayhu va'amrila abe chadayhu. Okay, he would kiss his sisters either on their arms or on their breasts, okay, or their chest. It's a little strange, right? It, most of the person say it can't possibly be on their chest. It doesn't make any sense. But, okay, you can see Yadayu Chadayu could get confused a little bit, right? It's just a difference of the Yud or the Che. Okay, so he did this, which seems to go against Rabbi Padat, who says, Lo tikrivu l'galot ervata, right? Your sister is one of your ervot. You're not allowed to touch her in any kind of intimate way. So what would he? What's the story here? And then they even point out that not only that, but upliya didei adidei, he himself contradicts what he did. Okay, why? Damar ula kreva ba'alma asur. He says even getting close to one of the arayot is asur. Mishum lech lech amrin lenazira schor schor lekarma lo tikrav. This is a very famous line. It comes up a lot of times. Go tell the Nazir, go around. Lekarma lo tikrav. If he's going on a path and there happens to be a vineyard and he's not allowed to eat grapes, right? So they say, don't walk through the vineyard. Go around the vineyard so that you're not tempted to eat the grapes. So likewise, he held that when it comes to Kreva Ba'alma, right? Just even getting close is usher. So how could he possibly, right, kiss his sisters? So the Gemara, in fact, doesn't really answer this. It just says there's a contradiction in what Ula said and what Ula did. Some people say, which is, right, usually you'd say, often we say the rabbis kind of hold themselves to a higher standard. Here, we're going to say some of the commentaries say the opposite. That he knew himself and he knew that nothing was going to happen and he trusted himself so he was able to kiss his sisters. Whereas for the common people, he ruled for them, keep far away so that they put up boundaries. And, of course, it's a little bit people who are telling people what to do should keep to those standards themselves. Okay. La'alukash debanot. Okay, now we get into this other pasuk from Mishlei. The pasuk says, La'alukash debanot. Hav, okay, shalosh hen alo tispana, arba lo amruhon. Okay, but we're going to deal with the first five words. La'alukash debanot, hav. So aluka is a type of worm that sucks blood. So this worm, this blood-sucking worm has two daughters, hav. My hav, right? It sounds like what a dog says. Okay, what is hav? Amamar ukva, kol shte banot. Okay, it does sound like a barking dog, but what is it the barking of, the calling of? It's the call of shtei banot shetzoakot migehenom. It's these two daughters that are screaming in Gehenom. Va'omrot ba'olam hazeh haveh. Okay, in other words, what happened? They're screaming from Gehenom. Va'omrot means when they were in olam hazeh still, before they died, what were they saying always? Haveh, meaning bring me. Okay, v'uman yenu, and who are these two daughters? Minut v'harishut. Okay, now there's a bunch of interpretations what exactly they were telling people to bring. They were saying, bring me avodah zarah, bring me gifts, bring me taxes, bring me, right? This is why people always hated the Rashut, because they were always taking taxes. Bring me money, bring me this, right? They always wanted everything You know, bring me, bring me, bring me. And because of that, now they're in Gehinnom screaming. And they're making a play on words of hav and have, right? And it's because they were screaming haveli, now they're screaming hav, hav. Okay? Ika de Amri, there's a whole different way this whole thing came about. The same kind of, the same gist, but a little different. So for erase everything we just said, now we're going to read it in a different way. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Ukva, kol Gehinnom tzoeket v'omeret. How do they darshan this pasuk? The voice of Gehinnom is calling. Haviu li shtei banot shetzoakot v'omrot ba'olam hazeh havei havei. Okay, it's the Gehinnom screaming, bring me, hav hav, bring me, the two people who were screaming in olam hazeh, bring me, bring me, bring me everything. So it's the same idea, just instead of them screaming from Gehinnom, it's Gehinnom screaming, come to me. Okay, now we're moving on to another pasuk in Mishlei. Okay, this is kol ba'eha lo yeshuvun v'lo yasigu orchot chayim. Okay, this seems to be referring to sexual relations called ba'eha, okay, like bi'a, lo yeshuvun. They will not be returned tshuva, v'lo yasigu orchot chayim, and they will never have a way of life. Okay, let's translate it literally. So, what does this mean? V'chi me'achar shelo, okay, we're going to see that they don't really refer to this. They're going to say in the end that kol ba'eha is not sexual relations, but it's something else. It says here they'll never return, they'll never do tshuva, and therefore will never get they will never have a way of life. So now they say, well, if lo shavu, then of course they're not going to have a way of life. And if you don't go do tshuva, then of course you're doomed. So why would they even bother saying that? So therefore they say hachikam, or something very radical. V'im yashuvu lo yasigu orchot chayim. They now say, even if they do tshuva, okay, now the assumption is they're referring here to minut, okay, we're going to see it in a minute, that even if they don't, even if they do tshuva, what will happen? They will still not get, they will still not have a life. Okay, we're going to see what this means. Lememra, so what they basically want to say, lememra, is this what you want to say? Dekola poresh mi minut, okay, they're obviously referring here to minut, to Christianity, or whatever you want to refer to minut as, you know, heresy. So kol ha-poresh mi-minut mayit. So you're trying to say now, and that's, what do they assume it means, or lo yasig orchot chayim, and this can be the interpretation, that they're going to die immediately. If you do tshuva from being a heretic, you will die immediately. Okay, now why is this we're going to talk about soon? Okay, but now they want to say, actually, maybe we'll talk about it now. Okay, I'm going to give you a bunch of different interpretations. Rashi says here, if you look in Rashi says, kol ha-mishtamdim la'avodat kochavim, achar shenevku b'minut, enam shavim, v'im shavim mimaharim lamut. Okay, and the point is they will not do tshuva, and if they do tshuva, they're going to immediately die as they do tshuva. Now, what's the reason? Okay, he gives this as if it's one reason, although the Ein Yaakov views this as two different reasons. Mitoch tzara ukfiat yitzram, v'zo gzerat melech aleihem lamut. Okay, God decrees it that they should die. That's one interpretation. Although maybe these two things are connected. And mitoch tzara ukfiat yitzram, maybe that there's a concern. Some people explain what Rashi means is there's a concern they're going to go back to it. That is the ta'ava for either heresy, whether it's Christianity or it's avodah zarah or whatever you want to call it, idol worship. The ta'ava is so strong that there's a concern that if they do tshuva, they're going to go back to it. So therefore, what does God do? It's actually rachamim of God. He makes it easier for them so they'll get olam haba, so he kills them immediately so they can go to olam haba. Okay? They've got their olam haba in that minute when they do tshuva, and then they're done. Okay. So basically, according to this, orchot chayim means olam hazeh, not olam haba. Everyone agrees, right? According to this, they get olam haba. But I want to point out there's an interesting contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, Perek Bet Halacha Hei, says that we can't accept minim b'tshuva la'olam. We can't accept their tshuva. And he says it based on this. Basically, what does this mean? They can't do tshuva. Okay? Now, this is very difficult because the Rambam in Halacha Tshuva, anyone who's seen the Rambam in Halacha Tshuva, says in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Dalet, that all these people who don't have chelek la'olam haba, including minim are on that list, if they're chozrim b'tshuva, Ein davar ha'omei b'fnei ha'tshuva. In other words, of course they can be chozer b'tshuva. So how do we reconcile the Rambam on the one hand saying these guys can't do tshuva, right? We can never accept their tshuva. On the other hand, ein davar shomei b'fnei tshuva, and even a mean can be chazer b'tshuva. So in the tshuva of the Rambam, he gives an answer to this, and he says explicitly that hilchot tshuva is talking about ben adam l'makom, and this is something we've discussed a bunch of times. But when it comes to ben adam l'chaviro, we start with this in Sanhedrin, with when people are chazer b'tshuva, right? Can we accept them to be eidim? We saw this a few dapim ago. It came up also, this concept of on a level of man and God, so God knows if you're really sincere or not, and therefore you can obviously accept your tshuva. But as human beings, we never know if someone's done tshuva or not, and we see this all the time. You know, particularly, I think, always the main place where you see this is people who are, you know, community leaders who end up with sexual offenses, and then they say, oh, well, I don't do that anymore, and, you know, do we allow them to teach? Do we not, right? This is the whole, we really have no idea. Do they really do tshuva? And usually people are more suspect than not that, you know, do they really do tshuva and have they really changed? So, versus the other people who say, oh, no, they did tshuva. Let them teach. They're brilliant scholars. You know, why should we have this loss? And it's a big debate, but according to this, the Rambam says if they were involved in minut, and interestingly, we're going to see that the minut is also involved with sexual offenses, then we can't accept their tshuva. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to question this. So according to this, anyone who does tshuva from minut dies right away. V'ha, we have a story. Ha'hi da'ate l'kamed Rav Chisda. This woman came before Rav Chisda. Va'amra le, she says to him, Kalasha bekalot asta bina katam mi bina gadol. The least of all the averot I did was that I created a son from my oldest son. Okay, meaning I slept with my oldest son and now I have a baby from him. Va'amra lehu Rav Chisda, tarchu la bizavdata. He says, everyone, you better get her tachrichim ready. We're going to bury her right away. She's going to die. Okay? Vilometa. But in fact, she didn't die. So what do you see here? Right? That. Midka'amar kalasha bekalot asta michlal deminu nami havyaba. In other words, if that was the least of what she did, she must have also been a heretic. Interesting jump they make, right? So yet she didn't die. So what do they answer? Hahu delo hadraba shapir. Okay, she didn't really do tshuva. If she had done proper tshuva, she would have died right away. But obviously, she didn't do proper tshuva. U'mishum hachi lo meta. Okay, that's one version of the story. Now, like I said, like before, erase everything you heard before. Now we're going to read the story from a different perspective. Okay, ika da'amri, some people say this is how it went. Miminut in me'avera lo. It sounds like from minut you will die right away, but you won't from other averot like giloy areyot, okay, like promiscuous relations. V'ha ha'hida atay l'kamed Rav Chisda. There was this woman who came before Rav Chisda. V'amar le Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda said to her, zvidu le zvedata, right? And Rav Chisda said, get the tachrichim ready, umeta, and she in fact did die, okay? And what do you see here? She was involved, okay, they don't tell us the rest of the story, but we know the story. She was involved in sexual promiscuity. So what do you see here? Even from sexual promiscuity, you die right away. It's not just, right, remember I said you have to erase the first version, because in the first version, she doesn't die right away. In this version, she did die right away, but you see it wasn't from minut. So now they say no. The answer is what they assumed in the first story, which is, mitka'amar kalasha b'kalot, michlal de b'minut nami havyaba. Okay, so now they say it must be that she was also involved in heresy. And that's why, okay? And therefore, it's only heresy. So again, the Gemara questions, but from sexual relations, promiscuous sexual relations, you don't die? Immediately, v'hatanya, amru alav, arulezer ben dordaya, shelo hiniach zona achat ba'olam shelo ba'alea pam achat. Okay, here was interesting, they call him Rabbi Elezer ben Dordaya, okay, this big debate here, whether, how can you be called a rabbi if he didn't leave any prostitute that he didn't visit, okay? He basically made sure to see every prostitute that there was. Obviously, it's an exaggerated story, but point is, he was very much involved in prostitution. Is he really a rabbi? Is he not? You'll see by the end of the story, they call him a rabbi, and maybe that's where he gets his title Rebbe from, okay? It doesn't seem like he was a guy who really had smicha, okay? So anyway, what happened? So he basically knew all the zonot there were. He had, you know, been with them. Shama sheyesh zona achat b'karchei hayam v'aitanu telekisti narim b'schara. He heard that there was one particular zona in the by the water. How did they say by the karchei hayam? By
overseas.
What?
Overseas.
Okay. And she took a lot of money.
B'scha natal kis dinarim. So he took a whole bag of a wallet full of dinarim. V'halach v'avar la shiv'a naharot. Right, classic story, seven, right? The number seven, the man, right? He basically crosses seven naharot. B'sh'at hergel davar. Okay, while they were in the middle of having sex, heficha, she farts. Okay, she lets out gas. Amra kishem sheificha zo, en kishem sheficha zo, ena chozeret limkoma. She says to him, just like the gas that came out of my body will never go back into my body. Kach Elazar ben, oh, his name is Elazar. Sorry, my mistake. I said Elazar before. Kach Elazar ben Dordaya, ein mekablimo to b'tshuva. She says, you will not be accepted for tshuva. Okay, you can't do tshuva. In other words, what you've done has gone out and it cannot be returned. Halach v'yashav ben shnei harim u'gvaot. Okay, he basically realizes, wow, I got to do something. So he goes between, right, he tries to find things in nature, the greatest, most powerful things. He goes between harim u'gvaot, amar, harim u'gvaot bakshu ala rachamim. Okay, beg, can you help me ask for rachamim? Amru lo, ad she'anu mevakshim alecha nevakesh al atzmenu. Sorry, we have to deal with our own, we've got our own problems. She'ne'emar ki harim yamushu v'agvaot timotena. Okay, it says that the harim are going to melt and the gvaim are going to collapse. Amar, so what does he do? Shamayim va'aretz. He goes to the shamayim va'aretz. Okay, that for sure will help him. Bakshu alai rachamim. Amru, ad she'anu mevakshim alecha nevakesh al atzmenu. She'ne'emar ki shamayim ka'ashan nimlachu. Okay, the sky, the heavens will, or how do they explain nimlachu?
Dissipate like smoke.
Okay, dissipate like smoke. Va'aretz kebeged tivale. And the land will be like a beged that wears away. Amar, so he says, okay, so they're not going to help me. Chamau livanab, shu ala rachamim, the sun and the moon. Amru lo, hachanu mevakshim alecha, nevakesh al atzmenu, she'ne'emar, v'chafra livona u'bosha chamah. Okay, the levana will be
humiliated,
and the sun will ashamed. Amar kochavim u'masalot b'chshu ala rachamim. Amru lo, ad shanu mevakshim alecha, nevakesh al atzmenu, she'ne'emar, v'nimoku kol tzva ha'shamayim. Okay, they'll be
dissolved.
Amar, so after he goes to all the, you know, great things in the world and realizes nothing, none of them are going to be able to help him. Amar eina davar taloi ela bi. He says, I guess it's just me. I got to, right? He sees everyone else is dealing with their own, right? Everyone is worrying about themselves. So he realizes I have to worry about myself also. Hiniach rosho ben berka v'ga'a b'b'chia ad sh'yatzta nishmato. Okay, so basically what does he do? He basically, you know, does tshuva in a very internal manner, right? He sits there crying and regret about everything he did until he dies. Yatzta bat kol v'amra. Rabbi Lezer ben Dordaya mezuman l'chayei ha'olam haba. Okay, they basically say, we accepted your tshuva. So what do you see here? What happened? He did tshuva and immediately died. So there you have it. Also from sexual, improper sexual relations, you can also die immediately. This was an avera, right? The avera, they always mean referring to gilur ha'arayot, and he died. And you said it was only minut. So what do they say? Hatamnami kevanda avik betuva kim minudamya. He was so engrossed in prostitution that this isn't a classic case of gilui arayot. This was gilui arayot that was equivalent to minut, but this wouldn't apply to anybody else who engages in sexual relations. It could be that what they're trying to do here is, I'm not sure, but maybe they were concerned that maybe it would disincentivize people from doing tshuva.
Until they had finished doing
this. Right. Well, until they were ready to die, basically. Because I think it's, you know, it's true, yes, people want olam haba, but on the other hand, they also don't want to die immediately. So it could be the concept of this just was too scary for people and they wanted to mitigate it and say it really only refers to minut.
This actually says that when he started off going to the mountains and everything, it was because he realized that if he did full tshuva right away, he would die, and he didn't want to die. And the reason he was asking for intercession was that he could have a long life and have tshuva. And what the mountains are saying is, not just we've got our own stuff, but it's transient. Even we are going to fade and disappear, and just take what you're getting.
There is nothing that's yafeh. Okay. Right, yafeh. That concept, I like that image of, you know, nothing is forever. That's good. Okay. Even the things that we think are always there are still not correct.
That's why they go. That's why they specify all the things that are right. Not that we thought were stable that weren't.
Yafeh. And now we get to the line that we saw the other day, which is interesting. I wonder if this is really true or this line got kind of copy and pasted onto a bunch of stories. Bacha Rebbe v'amar yesh koneh olamo b'kama shanim v'yesh koneh olamo b'sha'a achat. Okay, we saw this the other day with. Now my head is in this. What was the story there where he said it? Let's just flip back.
Oh, it was Ben Korchia, the one who did his own breach as the Romans were taking him off.
Right. Ketia Bar Shalom. Ketia Bar Shalom, who does his Brit Milah, right, exactly. And now it says it here, and we're going to see it also in tomorrow's stuff. Okay? So basically he says, you know, he cries. Again, we had a bunch of different interpretation why he cries. And here we have an added line, right? It's not enough that they accept them, but not only that, they call them Rebbe. In other words, they get this title of Smicha. Okay, which we'll see. Now this leads us into another story. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonatan have ka'azle ba'orcha. Okay, so now we're getting into another story. Remember this thing about the Smicha, because the Smicha is going to come back at the end of the daf. But now we're getting into keeping our distance from minut, from zonot. Okay? Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonatan of Ka'azle Ba'orcha. They were going on a path. Matu lahanu treish vile. Okay? There were two paths in front of them. They could choose either path. Chab patze apitcha d'avoda kochavim. V'chab patze apitcha d'be zonot. Okay? One passes by an avodah zara worship place. And one passes by a house of prostitutes. Let's go by the Avodat Kochavim. Why? Because if you remember in Yoma, and we linked this in another sig also, maybe in Sanhedrin, I'm not sure. Dinachis Yitzre. That already the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was destroyed when was it? I think in the Churban.
They had the Yetzer Hara destroyed. That whole
right, they davened to have it. It was around the time of the Churban, I forget exactly the timing of it, but...
It was before
the Churban, I guess, right? Because it was in the Kodesh Kodeshim, and this fiery something comes out of the Kodesh Kodeshim. Anyway, they basically destroy the Yetzer Hara for the Ta'ava for it. So he says, we're better off going there, because we no longer have such a Ta'ava to go worship in a house of Avodah Zarah. Amar le'idach, nezel apitcha de'bezonot. He says, why don't we better off going by the prostitutes? We'll not give in to our temptation, and we'll get sachar for that. So that's better, right? Are you better off avoiding everything? You're better off facing it and overcoming. So they agree to go with the second way. Kimatu hatam, when they get there, chazin hu lizonot, the zonot see them. Itkanu mikamayhu, and they basically run into right. The zonot generally stand like Tamar, right, standing in the crossroads, right. They stand outside to lure people. They see the rabbis coming, and they go inside. Okay, Amar leim menalach. How did you know this? He says to him, menalach. How did you know that was going to happen? Amar lei mizima tishmor alecha tivuna tinsareka. Okay, what is this? It's a pasuk from Mishle. Okay, we're quoting a lot of Mishle today. Okay, we're going to have to explain what exactly mizima tishmor alecha. It sounds like the mizima is protecting you, and the tvuna tinsareka, linsur, is to protect also, lishmor. So, and the intelligence will protect you. So what is this mizima? Mizima is usually evil, bad things. So it's strange. What does this mean? Amalei Rabbanan l'Rava, my mizima. What does mizima mean here? The Rabbanan said to Rava. Ilema Torah, maybe it's the Torah, dechtiv ba zima, where it says zima, this is in, if you remember this pasuk about the arayot, it says zimahi, and mitargaminan, the targum there says atzat chata'in. Okay, what's zima? It's the advice of chot'im, basically. Uktiv hifli etza yigdil tushia. So what do they say? Zima must be etza. Yes, it's true, it's associated with chet there, but it must mean, in actuality, Eitza. What's Eitza? We see from the southern pasuk, Eitza, he deal Tushia. Tushia is Torah. So what do they say? Eitza is Torah, so Zima must be Torah. Transitive property, okay? But if that's the case, then what should the pasuk say? Ihachi Zima mibayle. It should say in the pasuk, Zima tishmor alechav. Zima means Torah. Right? Zima means Eitza, and Eitza means Torah. So it should say Zima, not Mizima. Hachi kamra, this is what it means. So it can't be that. It must read like this. Midvar zima, which is bad doings, right? From mizima tishmor alecha. How do you read this? From bad things, tishmor alecha Torah. Okay, the word Torah is missing, but that's what it means. Mizima, from zima, the Torah will be shomer alecha. And tishmor alecha Torah, tinserecha, right? Tivuna tinserecha. Okay, now we get a story, another interesting story. Tanu Rabbanan. Kishenitvisu Rabbi Lazar ben Prata v'Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion. If you remember, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion appears in El Ezkera. He's one of the Asarahu Rege Machut. So when they were captured by the Romans, which this is going to lead to his death, this story, Amar le Rabbi Lazar ben Pratya l'Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion. So Rabbi Lazar ben Pratya says to Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion like this, Ashrecha shenitpasta al davar chad. Oili shenitpasti al chamisha dvarim. You're in luck because you were only captured for one thing and I was captured for five things. We're going to see through the story what the one thing and what the five things were. Amar le Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says back to him, Ashrecha shenitpasti al chamisha dvarim v'ata nitzol. Oili shenitpasti al davar achad ve'eini nitzol. He says to him, it's true you were captured for five things, but in the end you're going to be saved. But me, I was captured for one thing and I'm going to die. Okay, he kind of prophesizes about what's going to happen. How does he know that this is going to be? Again, right. True or not true, this is right. They're trying to make a point, the rabbis, when they tell this story. Sha'at asakta b'torah b'miluch hasadim, v'ani lo asakti ela b'torah b'ulvad. Very strong, powerful statement, right? In this world of learning Torah, and we're all about learning Torah, and learning Torah is so important, and Beit Midrash, it's not important if you're not going to do miluch hasadim. And basically, I've spent my life just learning Torah, and I've been in the Dalet Amot of the Beit Midrash, and I haven't gone outside enough, haven't done things for others. But you've done Gemilu Chasadim, and that's going to sustain you. That's going to protect you against them. Kidu Rav Huna, Da'amar Rav Huna, and this goes like with Rav Huna's statement. Rav Huna said, Kol osek b'torah bilvad, domeh kimi she'en lo Eloha. Very strong statement. Anyone who only learns Torah, okay, you can see why the rabbis needed to say these things, right? We see it nowadays. There's people who are so engrossed in just Torah and don't see anything outside of it, and it's a problem, right?
It's so almost like learning it without learning how to apply it.
Right, exactly. In other words, the point is that Torah is not just a book that's meant to be learned, it's a book that's meant to be practiced. And if you can't do Gemilu Chasadim, then you're obviously not practicing Torah. So he says, it's like Misha Ein La Eloha, okay, someone who doesn't have a God, Shneamar, interesting in this Masechet, right, we're talking about someone who doesn't have a God, right, it's all about gods and Elilim, etc. Shneamar, V'yamim, okay, here's a pasuk from Divrei Yamim, V'yamim Rabim L'Yisrael L'lo Elohei Emet, it reads like this, U'lelo Kohen Moreh, U'lelo Torah. Okay, so my L'lo Elohei Emet, Shekol Osek B'Torah B'Vad, Domeh K'misha Ein La Eloha. That's how they translate the pasuk. Again, it's a bit off the chat, but they're saying it's as if you don't have a God. Now, okay, so that's very interesting, but could it possibly be that Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion did not do Gemilu Chasadim? Right? Hard to imagine that he spent all his day learning Torah. So, let's see. U'b'Gemilu Chasadim lo asak? Really? He didn't do Gemilu Chasadim? V'hatanya, not just, okay, we can assume he must have, but we're going to bring sources that show that he did. V'ha'tanya, doesn't say in a bright, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Lo yitain adam ma'otav la'arnar kishal tzedaka, Ela imke memuneh alav tamid chacham, Ke Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion. This was in Baba Batra and all the tzedaka sugyas that we learned in the beginning of Baba Batra. You can't give, don't give it to some tzedaka kupa, unless Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion is the one who's in charge of the money, because you shouldn't just trust all these people who are giving out money and they might not be doing it appropriately. Which we all know nowadays is a big issue, right? You have to watch who you're giving your tzedakah to because you never know what they're using the money for. So it has to be someone who's a talmid chacham like Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion. So he obviously must have been osek b'gemilu chasadim. So what do they say? No, heimune udave meheman mi'avi lo avid. He was very trustworthy, but he himself didn't do gemilu chasad. V'hatanya, okay, fine. Maybe that didn't prove it, but what about this one? Amar lo ma'ot shal purim nitchafu li b'ma'ot shal tzedakah. So what do they say? He says, my ma'ot of Purim, this big debate, what exactly is ma'ot of Purim, or maybe the ma'ot for his su'udah, got mixed up in my ma'ot for tztaka. So what did I do? I gave them all to poor people. This is what Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion says. So what do they say? Well, me'avid avid. It's true he did it, but kedibai lelo avid. And it's just because he did this one act of tzedakah, he was a very wealthy man, and he could have given a lot of tzedakah, and he didn't give what he could have. In other words, he didn't excel in the mitzvah. Okay, it's not that he didn't do it at all. It's just he could have done it much better, and he didn't. So now what happens? So now we're going to get to the story between the Romans. Okay, we're not going to finish it today. We're going to get started with Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, and tomorrow we'll get to Rabbi Hananya ben Chodim. Atula Rabbi Elazar ben Pratya. Amru, my time at Tanita. Okay, so there were all these gzerot the Romans put upon them. It was forbidden to do all sorts of things. We're going to learn talk today what it was forbidden. So first of all, it's forbidden to teach. So they say, why were you teaching? Umay time aganavta. It was also forbidden to steal, and he stole. So they claimed he stole. So Amar Lu, he says to them like this, Isaifa lo safra. Isafra lo saifa. He says, if I'm a ganav, then I can't be a Talmid Chacham. And if I'm a Talmid Chacham, then I can't be a ganav. So it can't possibly be that I did both of them, because they're mutually exclusive. Umidaha leita, ha nami leita. And since I can't, right, I think this means, right, I must have done neither. Right? Sheni bi, daha en shtehem ba'adam echad, en chaver atah bi. Right. In other words, since I can't do this, if I did this, I can't do that. And if I did that, I can't do that. Clearly, I didn't do either. Okay? Umay time akarulach Rebbe. Okay, the third problem was he had smicha. And if you remember that story where where he runs away and he goes to the middle of two big mountains, kind of like today, where he runs to the two mountains, and he gives smicha to these five rabbis, it was?
One was Rebbe Akiva, I think.
No, but who was the one who couldn't run away? Well, my names were eluding me today. Okay, so anyway, he runs there, and then the Romans come, and they all run away, but he can't, and he basically gets all the holes in his body, and he becomes like a sieve, because they put arrows in him. So what do you see here? They couldn't give smicha, so why do they call you Rebbe? So he says, Rabban shel tarsimani, I'm a rabbi of the weavers, okay? They call me rabbi, okay? In other words, rabbi doesn't necessarily mean rabbi. Rabbi means also, master. They don't trust him. I to le tre kibori. They bring him two spools of wool. Amrule, hai de shati of a hai de arva. Which one would you use for the sheti and which one would you use for the arev, the warp and the woof? Okay, which one would you use for which? And as you use different threads for different ones. Now he had no idea because he didn't know anything about weaving. He was just making it up. Itrachish le nisa, a miracle happens. Atya ziborita otve al deshatya. Atya zibora v'yatev al de'arva. Okay, so the male, two bees come, and the male one, okay, by the way, the Tosa says it can't possibly be that they were two bees and one was male and one was female, because the naked eye can't identify that. So he claims it must have been two different types, but okay, like two streams that were different to know the difference.
Was it Yeshua ben Hanani?
Very likely. It's funny. I had Hananya in my head, but I knew it was Rabbi Hananya, so it could be Rabbi Shimon Hananya. Thank you. It could be. We'll have to check after. So anyway, what happens? So how does this help him? Because one of them weaves in and out, and the other one stays in its place. So it's an image for a male and a female, that the male is the more active one, and the female kind of stays in her place and is the more passive. Right? So anyway, according to this, he knew which was which. Okay, and he was able to identify. Amarlu, hi deshakiv, hi darva. Amrele, umay time alo atit lebeit avidan, lebe avidan. Why didn't you come to Beit Avidan? Okay, even though this is a Hebrew name, some people say maybe this is the name that the Jews called it, even though, okay, what was it? It seemed to be a place where they would congregate to philosophize. Okay, and the wise people of the generation, of the Romans also, and gather together to have debates or to discuss. And they were upset that he didn't go down there. The assumption is it probably took place in a house of Avodah Zarah, and that's why he didn't come. There happened to be rabbis who did go to Beit Avidan, and some people say, well, maybe it wasn't located in that time or in that city in a Beit Avodah Zarah, maybe that's why. Anyway, why didn't you go there? Amar lehu zaken hayiti, I was old, I'm old. Umitirani shematur masuni baraglechem, I was worried I was going to get trampled. Amru v'adayina kamasava yitram, they said, but come on, let's be real. When was the time you ever heard anybody be trampled in Beit Avidan? Itrachish nisa, a miracle happens. Hahu yoma irmas chad saba. Okay, an old man got trampled that day in, right, a strange kind of miracle. Somebody actually dies in order to save him, right? It's a very interesting image. But, right, that's his miracle. Umay time a kashavif avadach l'chirut. Why did you free your slave? This was another thing that was forbidden. Now the question is, why was it forbidden for him to free his Canaanite slave? What would they care? So some of them refer to explain that he did it al pi halacha. In other words, they weren't allowed to do things al pi din Torah. And he did it according to the halachot of the Torah, and maybe that's why. So I was also thinking about the fact that once you free him, he becomes Jewish. So maybe that was also what bothered them. Amar lehu lo hayudvari me'olam. He says that never happened. Kam chad minayu la sudebe. One of the Romans get up to testify against him. Ate Eliyahu. Okay, this story is going to get very strange. Eliyahu comes, right? Anytime Eliyahu appears in a story, it's a little strange. Idam elei kachami chashuvei de machuta. He dresses up as if he's one of the important people of the machut. Amar lei, mida achash lei nisa. So now what does he do? He tries threat tactics to the guy who's going to testify falsely against him and claim that he freed his slave. So, or we don't even know. Maybe he was testifying truthfully. We don't really know. Okay, it's unclear whether he did this or not, but we assume that he was framed for doing this, and he didn't really do it. So he says to him, look, all these miracles happen in Bekulu, and all the other claims, miracles happen, right? He got out of four claims in some miraculous kind of way. Bahanami etrachish leNisa. This one also is going to happen miraculously, and you're better off, right? Scare tactics, don't bother testifying against him. Okay, and that person, he just didn't care, and he ignored Eliyahu. Kam lemeimar lehu, so he gets up now to testify. Now, in the meanwhile, okay, this is a very strange, there's lots of different ways to read this word exactly. It means I struggled with, I came to come up with this interpretation that I read that seems to make the most sense to me, but I'll already tell you that there's a bunch of different ways of reading this story. Hava ktiva igrata, hava katev michashuvei malchut l'shaduri lebei kesar. There was this letter that they needed to send to the Malchut, to the Chashuvei Malchut, to the Kesar, and they sent it with him. Okay, unclear. They sent it with Eliyahu, they sent it with this guy. It seems that he got up, the way it makes the most sense to me, he got up to testify. Again, this is an interpretation I read. It just made the most sense to me of all the interpretations I read. He got up to testify, and at that moment they said, oh, we have this really important letter that needs to get to the Kesar. Go take it. Okay, Shadru al Yadei Dahu Gavra. Okay, some people say Ahu Gavra is Eliyahu, some people say Ahu Gavra is him. Okay, so they sent it with him. Ate Eliyahu Patke Arba Mea Parse. Eliyahu comes, now it's a little confusing what happened here. Eliyahu comes and throws him 400 parsaot. Okay, now 400 parsaot of Malach ben Adam is 10 parsaot a day. So we're talking a malach of 40 days, which is also referenced to, right? Moshe 40 days, there's all these 40 days. And he throws him, or he throws the letter, or it's unclear what, something gets thrown 400 parsaot away. Azav v'lo ata. He goes and he never comes back. Okay, in other words, the assumption is that he sees this as a sign from God, maybe, you know, whatever God he believed in, that he shouldn't testify. So, because they say, well, if he could have come back 40 days, why didn't he come back? But I guess he realized it just wasn't worth it, especially as Eliyahu had said, a miracle was going to happen. It wasn't going to happen anyway. So basically, that's what happens. Okay, so remember for tomorrow, because Rabbi Chanani ben Tradion's story is going to be quite different, that in all the claims, he somehow came up with some miraculous quip and answered them back and came up with some creative way to get out of it. And as Rabbi Chanani ben Tradion predicted, he actually was saved. And as we all know, the end of Rabbi Chanani ben Tradion's story, he doesn't get saved. Okay, we'll see what tactics he tried that didn't work.